friends, and welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, May the 26th. And wherever you are, whenever you listen to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life as we continue through this Easter season. I mean, we finish it up now. We have been celebrating the life, the active life, the present life of our God, the resurrected life in our midst these last 7 weeks, right? And we conclude it this weekend with one of the greatest feasts in our church liturgical year, and that is the Feast of the Pentecost, the Feast of the Gift of the Spirit, the coming of the Advocate, huh? I mean, this is so good. And we're going to talk about that. That's going to be our focus today. So I don't want to take away from that. We're going to read two readings because this is such a high feast day. I think it would be a shame just to keep it to one. But we're going to read the first reading, which is Luke's take on that Spirit's coming. And then we're going to read the Gospel, which is John's take on it. All right? And both are correct, right? But both are very different, which is the wonder and goodness of the church and you know, the breadth of God and the mystery of God, that both are true. All right, so if you're following along, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, that'll be our first reading. Very familiar to you, I'm sure. And then the Gospel of John, we're going to go to the 20th chapter. This is the resurrection, so this will be Easter Sunday evening. John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. All right, so a brief Gospel. Again, I suspect something you've heard before if you follow the Gospel stories much. And if you don't, that's great. Hey, then I welcome you to hear these for the first time. That's wonderful. As always, I invite you, as best you can, wherever you are right now, to settle yourself and invite that Holy Spirit into your being to illuminate you in what this word is teaching us. And just as important, where this word is inviting us, all right? However you do that, whether that's in silence and whatever, invite that Spirit just to be in with you, inside you, and to allow this word to take hold of you, okay? So let's break open God's word. A reading from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one of them heard them speaking in their own language. They were astounded, and in amazement they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each one of us hear them in their native language? We are Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. Yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Again, however you open yourself to this word, whether that's a feeling, whether that's an intuition of where you need to go, whether that is a word, a phrase, an idea that speaks to you, hold on to that, whatever it is. And now, my friends, let's break open the Gospel. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That's the word. That's the word we get to hear this weekend. Again, Luke's version in Acts of the Apostles, they were all in that room in one place together, right? And that was, so now, 50 days after, right? We read Luke's gospel last week. And Jesus ascends on Easter Sunday night. But if we read Acts of the Apostles, also Luke, again, the mystery and the breadth of God, because both are true. Jesus is with them for 40 days before Jesus ascends, right? And then 10 days later, Pentecost, Penta, of course, 50, that feast of 50 days, 50 days after the feast of Easter. They're in that upper room, all in that one place together, and the Spirit comes. And then in John's gospel, it is Jesus coming in on that first day of the week. Had we read before that, we would have seen that interchange, that marvelous interchange between Mary Magdalene and Jesus, right? Where she thinks he's the gardener. And so it's Easter Sunday evening that John comes into them. And they're in that upper room for fear, right? They're still locked in fear. Because what happened to Jesus may happen to them, and they weren't sure what the resurrection was yet, or if it was real, or if what Mary said was a dream or a vision or whatever. And both are the coming of the Spirit, okay? So what we celebrate on this feast day, and brothers and sisters, make no mistake, this feast day is on par with Christmas and Easter. Now, we don't celebrate it culturally like those, and so we can easily miss that. But from a church perspective, from an importance perspective, now, you know, the wonder, again, we're a Trinitarian people, right? Because of our God, because our God is a Trinitarian God. Christmas, of course, we celebrate God's great act of becoming one with us and the incarnation in Jesus the Christ, right? So really Christmas focuses Trinitarian, I guess, because, you know, it was the Spirit's action in Mary. Of course, her yes, by the way, which is Mary is so awesome because she points the way for us, right? Because it's got to be our yes. It's never just the Spirit's action or God's action or Jesus's. It's our yes in combination. But that Trinitarian action, right, of the Spirit's action in Mary, and then God's plan and God's action first and foremost, and then the coming of Jesus in the incarnation. Well, the resurrection is in a similar way. It's God's action, God raising Jesus from the dead, and that animating Spirit within him, within Jesus, and this right here. You know, it comes so well on the heels of what we celebrated last week with the Ascension. Right? And Jesus, I use the analogy, I use it every year. It's like when we give the keys of the car to our teenagers, our 16-year-olds. And we might be a little scared. In fact, of course we are. We're anxious because they're new and they're going to make mistakes. But we don't stop that faith. Because until and unless we do, they can't grow in their knowledge of driving. They can't grow in their knowledge of independence. They can't grow into who they are fully as adults, right? And so it is with us, that Jesus, in a sense, gives us those keys. But the best part of this, and this analogy is poor, but I'll still continue to use it. You know, yes, we have the keys, but we don't, in a sense, drive the car. But we have to. It's that wonderful interchange of Mary, that yes to the Spirit. We God and God's wonderful goodness, you know, allows us to drive, allows us that free will to choose and to move, but invites us to continue, not just to have the passenger seat filled with God's presence and the Spirit, but really the driver's seat. But that's our that dance, that tango that we must do in allowing that yes to happen. Mary's yes in our yes. All right. But that's what we celebrate this week, that presence of the Spirit. Do you remember what was it 2 weeks ago that we, I think we were in John chapter 14 for a couple of weeks in a row. And one of the things Jesus said was, amen. Now, this is going to be my opinion. You throw it out. Maybe this is not theologically sound. I think it is, but it's where I come from. But in John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus says, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do and will do greater ones than these, because I'm going to the Father. And even 2 weeks ago, I said, you know, hey, put a pin in that. We're going to come back to that. Why? Because now. Because Jesus gives us the car and invites us to drive. And if Jesus stays, again, this is Joe's opinion now, if Jesus stays in the incarnation, in the world, that Spirit is incarnated, of course, within him. But if Jesus goes to the Father, that Spirit can be sent to all of us. To all of us. So it's not just located in one place in the world, in one moment, in one time. In Galilee or in Jerusalem or wherever Jesus happens to be. But now the Spirit, with Jesus being with God, the Spirit can be everywhere. Including in you right now and in me. And do we do greater acts than Jesus? I have not, individually, but as a church, over the centuries and over the years, and in millions upon billions of people, right, throughout in different places, have we collectively done greater works? I don't know. Maybe, in different ways. But I suspect that's where Jesus is pointing in this. And Pentecost, like we celebrate with Christmas, that's an easy one, Easter too. We don't merely remember, okay, so using Christmas, we don't simply say, hey, happy birthday, Jesus, you know, great. We remember what an event that took place 2,000 years ago, and we just have to get happy about it again, you know. No, we celebrate what was true then, which is also true now, right? That God didn't want to stay distant. God's great gift of becoming one with us. Not only 2,000 years ago in the person of Jesus the Christ, but today, that God continues to be born within us, right? It's a past, but it's also a present. The same with the resurrection. It's a past, but it's also a present. That Jesus continues to rise anew and lift us out of our graves today. And of course, that's the same with the Pentecost. It is a past. It's an actual event. The Spirit's coming into the world. But we don't just celebrate it and think about, oh, wasn't that great then? But we open ourselves to that celebration now to say the active presence of the Spirit now within and among us. As individuals, yes, but in communities as well. Because this coming of the Spirit isn't just an individual thing. Excuse me. It is a collective thing. It is a communal thing. Because the in both instances of what we saw today, it was the community gathered, right? One in fear and one in togetherness and unity. And the Spirit can be in both places. brothers and sisters, I mean, I could talk for the next hour and not collectively gather what the Spirit means to us. And that's really not important, because what's important is, what did you hear in the readings, and what's the Spirit saying to you right now? I love that part in the first reading, right? Where it says, and I'll read it directly, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Brothers and sisters, I don't know where the Spirit's taking you with these readings today, but grasp it and speak with the unique tongue, the unique voice, the unique life, the unique perspective, the unique way that you encounter and live within the world. Speak it well, because that's the action of the Spirit in you today, right now, which has never, never in the history of the world presented itself in the same way as it is within you and within me today. That's so great. And allow God, again, we individually are not going to do greater things than Jesus. Don't even attempt to put yourself on that pedestal. But collectively, allow yourself to be a part of the mosaic that is larger, that we are a part of something bigger. It is not about you and I and our individual egos and our individual ways that we can fix and our individual ways of saying, okay, Lord, aren't I great because I can do this and don't you love me now? Hey, stop it all. God does love you right now, right here today. And he invites you into the bigger picture, into the bigger dance, where we put aside our individual stuff and become a part of that which is bigger, the work of building the kingdom of God here and now, of which you cannot do individually, nor can I. But we both can say yes to doing our part and allowing God to do the rest. I mean, I could just talk so long, but I'm not going to. I'm going to say one other part here, and then I'm going to be quiet as best I can. Huh? The first line. And I love this. I'm going to say two things about it. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, so again, 50 days after the resurrection, they, the disciples, now don't just think the 12, think, you know, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, all of them, the community, okay? The early church community. They were all in one place together. All right. So in one instance, you have Jesus, or the Spirit, excuse me, coming into a place of unity. In the other one, in the gospel, Jesus comes into locked doors and into fear. And both are true because both are real in our lives. We've felt the Spirit in our life, every one of us, when we're in that place of unity. And we've also been locked in places of fear. And the Spirit is not afraid of that. In fact, the Spirit is bigger than that. And the Spirit is the one that can invite us, can take us out of that place of fear. Both are correct. The Spirit enters into whatever place we're in, not just unity or fear. It's not a binary. We can be a place of hurt today, in a place of anger, in a place of envy, in a place of self-absorption. Whatever prison, I mean, they're as unique as we are as well. And none are bigger. And none can keep the Spirit out, right? Spirit will come through locked doors. Okay, that was only point number one. And suddenly, there comes from the sky. Okay, so now I'm back in the first reading. Suddenly, there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind. I love that image. It reminds me of the gospel. I'm gonna read Mark's gospel here, where Jesus... It says in verse 12 of chapter 1 of Mark's gospel, after Jesus was baptized, at once the Spirit drove him out into the desert. The Spirit is a driving force. This, I used it earlier, this word. The Spirit is an animating force. Do we allow the Spirit to drive? I'm going to come back to that analogy. Do we allow the Spirit to drive? The Spirit will drive. The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert, and Jesus responded with Jesus' yes, right? He had to say yes. And in conjunction with the Spirit and Jesus moved out into the desert. Mary had to say yes to the driving question of the incarnation. The disciples, the strong driving wind came, and ultimately they had to say yes to speak in their unique voices. Brothers and sisters, the Spirit drives, invites us to allow the Spirit to drive. God does. But to do that, we have to allow ourselves to get out of control, right? I mean, I know, I'll speak for me. I won't speak for anybody else. I can be so much in control and my own agendas, even in with good things, right? That I don't allow the Spirit to take over my day because I've got a schedule. And I think the Spirit invites us to say, no. Allow me to drive. Can we trust enough to do that? And what does that Spirit look like when it drives? Well, I think ultimately, what is it, my friends, that animates us? In the resurrection, Jesus was animated with life. I mean, we can be animated with many, many different things, so many of which are good. But many of which are not. But the bottom line is, even good things, if they're not of the Spirit, we don't want them to animate us. So I'm going to read out of now Galatians chapter 5, okay? And first I'm going to read some of the things that animate us. I'm going to do it in my own words. But when things of the world animate us, it can be fairly obvious. And this is the list Paul gives us. Immorality, impurity, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, fury, anger, selfishness, dissension, division, factions, envy, drinking, he says orgies, and that's just not a word we use anymore, but just overcome with sexual desire, or that's all that animates us and drives us. Whatever it is. And again, those are things that are somewhat obvious. What about that animates us that maybe we're animated that we want to be known? Even if it's not, known on a national or international level, maybe we want to be known and well-respected within the community. Maybe we want to be, we're animated for success or promotions in our job. Maybe we're animated by a good salary. Maybe we're animated by a vacation that's coming up in next month. Maybe we're animated by a Packers win, whatever. There's nothing wrong, brothers and sisters, with wanting to be successful. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be, being excited about being on vacation, or wanting to be respected enough to make a decent salary at what we do, whatever it is, all those things. Okay? But if they animate us, if that is the driving force in our life, those are the good things that I would say. But if that's what's driving us, we need to rethink those things. What this day is, and I know I've gone on too long, I'm going to stop. What this day invites us to is to say, what is it that drives us? What is it that animates us, that fills us with that compunction to move forward? We know it's the Spirit when these things are present. And this is out of Galatians, right after those other things that Paul mentioned. This is what the Spirit looks like in our life. In contrast, Paul says in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Brothers and sisters, against things, this is Paul, there is no such law. What we get to invite today is to ask, do we allow the Spirit to drive? Not our own ego or agenda, our own feelings or emotions? Can we get ourselves out of control? Do we realize that the Spirit can break through into whatever is going on in our life? And that the Spirit is active right now and inviting us to speak in our uniqueness today? Because there are those out there who will hear and listen. But we have to say yes to allow the Spirit to move. And with that, I don't know what rosary, what prayer we're on. I think we're at the end of the joyful. I'm not sure, to be honest with you, but we're going to go to the glorious. And so let's pray, my friends, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The third glorious mystery, the descent of the Holy Spirit. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, bless you. May you and yours, may your community be filled with the Spirit. And may we say yes to that Spirit's animation within and among us in our lives. Be well, and God's peace.